I'll be a lady. Must I to worry? Before you
sing it unto him now.
Oh Lord, prepare me to see your sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, right? With thanksgiving, I'll be a living,
will you?
Sanctuary before.
Amen, to be a sanctuary for the Lord. Is that your desire?
Hallelujah.
Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures. Turn to Revelation 4, and we'll read 1 through 3. Revelation 4. Just remember now, the Lord willing, Wade and I'll be in Oklahoma next weekend, and Brother Forney's son-in-law, Brother Carlos, I don't even know his last name or where that is his last name. But anyhow, he's supposed to be here to preach next Sunday for you, or this coming Sunday for you. And so just back him up with your prayers and everything and all. And I've met him, you know, and talked with him, but I've never heard him preach. So it'll be interesting to hear. Also remember, this coming Sunday, there will be a shower after the evening service for Josh and Danielle. So remember that and everything. So I think everything else is covered. Any other announcements? I always miss something. But fellowship meeting 2 weeks at Brother Corshane's. So remember that and just be much in prayer. Revelations 4:1. Father, we thank you. We love you, and we thank you for the day that you've given us, the opportunity this afternoon to be able to come together and fellowship, Lord, around thy word. We ask you now that you would just come among us and speak to our hearts, because that's our desire. We gathered for that purpose, to hear from you. Just one word, Lord, from you is worth all of the heartaches and the troubles and things that's been put forth to try to get here this afternoon. So we pray that you will speak unto us. Lord, just guide each one. Bless the sick. You promised it, so we believe it. Come among us and heal the sick and deliver each one. We love you and we thank you. Guide each one now in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 4:1 through 3. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now remember, Brother Branham said he not only showed him the hereafter, he showed him all the way back, the church ages, the things from the time that there he was, all the way through, and even showed him past the millennium and on to the future home. So, you know, he was showing him the whole thing, that which was, which is, and shall come. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I pray that you got a little bit out of what I was trying to preach Sunday. And all in, you know, I don't want to drop back onto that, but just to hit it, just to make sure. See, we talk about the prophet. Everybody said, Brother Branham said the rapture was going to come in 77. He didn't say that. He said, don't you say I said that. He said, it's not so. But he said 1977 would be the 70th Jubilee. I gave you the quote there, paragraph 198 of the 70 Weeks of Daniel. It's 1961-806. He said it would be the going up of the Gentile bride, and the return of Christ to the Jews when they go out of bondage. Not 1977. The 70th Jubilee. See? Since the beginning of the Jubilees, making exactly 3,430 years from Leviticus 25:8. So you multiply 49, by 70, it comes out to 3,430 years. The prophet knew exactly what he's talking about. All right. But 1977, we entered a period of time that everybody was thinking the rapture was going to come, and I was hoping it would come the day after I heard the message. You know what I'm saying? I wanted it to come when I was in the Baptist, but I didn't know too much about it, did you? But when I began to hear the prophet's message, I was wanting it to come and looking forward to it to come. But yet, along about 74, I preached a series on Daniel 70 weeks, and as I did, then I proved that we could pass the year 2026 or even further or whatever, and it not break Brother Branham's message. I showed it by the prophet's message. That wouldn't be something that I figured out on my own, because you can't figure it out. It has to be revealed to you. All right. But he showed me then, see, and I didn't realize then, but I knew what he was saying. He said it would be 1977 would be the 70th Jubilee. Not 1977 would be the rapture. Not 1977 was the coming of the Lord. All of those things that everybody said he was saying. But he said it was the 70th Jubilee. All right. So then the 70th Jubilee is from Leviticus 25:8, is 7 sevens is 49, is verse 8. And that's where you get 49 times 70. So up in 1977, you had the 70th Jubilee of the release time of the 7 sevens is 49. All right. And then it did. Now we're in a time that the rapture could come after 77. See, if we'd have known what we'd known back in 74, I'd have said the rapture can't come. But I was ridiculed enough, like it was, of just preaching the things I did about it back there. But that's all right, because, you know, we're here and nobody can't argue the point. And all. And I've never tried to argue with anybody about anything. I just try to preach what God gives me. All right. But we're in a time now that the rapture can take place. We all say, well, sure, we believe that. All right. But we've got to be caught up. We've got to be caught up. If we're not caught up, there won't be a rapture. And I tried to cover that there for a couple of services, you know, about the word caught up, that the prophet said the word rapture is not even in the Bible. It's not. It's the word caught up. All right. Rapture seems to signify to our human mind, you know, when you say rapture to the human mind, it means out from here, going to another dimension, to heaven or whatever. And see, but caught away, see, John was caught up, Paul was caught up. Paul was caught up and saw things there in the scripture that it wasn't even lawful for him to speak of. He was caught up. And John was caught up as a type of the rapture. Now, he wasn't physically caught up. See, you can say, well, now, how do you know? Because he came back. Brother Branham's body was laying on the bed. He looked back and saw it. If you'd have seen John on Patmos, you would have probably seen him look like daydreaming. But he was in the Spirit. That's the same as over in chapter 1 where he says, and he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. All right, he was in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit took him up. Brother Branham went up to heaven, yeah. But his body stayed here. See? Paul went up, but his body stayed on earth. Because see, there's no way for you to be able to go up in a rapture and come back at this specific time. See, even the body of the Lord Jesus has not come back. The body is laying on the throne, as we'll get to in a little bit. But it didn't come back to earth. It was the baptism of the Holy Ghost that came back to earth. Amen. We meet the Lord in the air, and he doesn't set foot on the earth in a corporal body until the millennium, the prophet said. All right? So then the body's not here. We're his body. All right? See, then knowing that the Jubilee, all right, the word Jubilee there in Leviticus can be translated shout. I've got it down. Well, I got it right here, as a matter of fact. I had them Sunday to give it to you, but I didn't. And Brother Claude wanted the proof of it, so I said, okay, we'll run it off. And the Jubilee that's listed in Leviticus 25:9, it comes from the the Strong's Concordance 8643. All right. Now listen, when you're running Jubilee in the prophet's message, there is not a time that the Bible spells Jubilee with two E's. Strong's Concordance picks it up with two E's. In the Bible, the word Jubilee is J-U-B-I-L-E. But you can actually say Jubal, but it's Jubilee. But it's not. See, I thought somebody might run into that and wonder, well, I typed in Jubilee and didn't get nothing. But now in Brother Brown's message, you'll find Jubilee every time. You won't find the word J-U-B-I-L-E. It's J-U-B-I-L-E-E. See? And that would help you to keep you from being confused. But look what the word in Leviticus of Jubilee says. Alarm, signal, sound of tempest, shout, put with blast of a war, an alarm, joy, an alarm of war, a war cry, battle cry, blast, in other words, for a march, shout of joy with religious impulse, shout of joy in general. See, the word Jubilee is not, they didn't have back there a Jubilee of what we would call a Mardi Gras type of a great big celebration. It was a release time. A release time. The high priest would tell, see, the people when the Jubilee was coming, which really the prophet was the one that would tell them, and then it would go to the high priest, and then it would go from there down through the priests and things until the people got the message that they could go free. See, and that's what's happened then. See, in 1977, the prophet's message become a whole lot more important to me than it did before then. I didn't get discouraged because it passed, because I'd already preached it could. Alright? And see, I didn't get discouraged. I was actually thrilled that it passed that time. I heard tapes of churches on 1976, when the last Watch Night service, you know, they was just, glory, we're here, 77 is here. But now 2007 has passed, and 2008 is here. And the people are not shouting. They're sitting in disarray around the country. But the Bible said, now remember it says battle cry, the Bible said, how can one prepare to fight if he don't know what the trumpet says? Alright? You see, that's what we're doing here now. We're seeing what the prophet has said. Because the Lord himself shall descend from heaven in Thessalonians with a shout. That's the message the prophet said. Alright? Then the voice of the archangel is in the people. See? To raise the dead. And then we go into rapture. Our change. We're going up, see? But it's caught up. Now don't miss the point of what I'm getting at. Because see, John is caught up as a type of the rapture. He's not raptured up, because if he was, he couldn't come back. I mean, that to me should be a simple understanding to your mind, instead of trying, well, I don't know, Brother Branham said he went up to heaven, and I'm just going to stick with what he said. Well, amen, that's all right. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just saying that there's never been a man left the earth in a rapture that ever come back to the earth. You can't even bring Moses and them because they were up in the air. You can't bring Elijah because they were up in the air. See, they saw them up in the clouds and things. All right? But see, that to me, I just like everything plain and simple. Been called everything in the book from being that way, but I like plain and simple things that I can understand because I'm plain and simple. That's the way I see things. See, that you can't, if you leave here today, you're not coming back. But yet you can be taken up in the Spirit. You can see great things. You can see wonderful situations take place. See? But yet you can't physically leave and then physically come back. That would be contrary to Scriptures. But see, you know. All right, now let's get on. See, Jesus was caught up. Now, John was caught up as a type of the rapture to see the future. All right. Now, Brother Randall said he saw it even as though like he lived it. It was that real to him. It was a vision or translation. See, a prophet can leave his body, but his body, understand, his body stays here, but he can leave his body and go into the realms of Almighty God and go right into the presence of God to see those things and come back and tell us about it, because that's the way he would, that's what he's designed for. All right? But see, John, being who he was chosen for the job. Remember, we gave the scriptures our Sunday that the Lord said, you know, what be it to thee if he remains till I come? And a saying went out among them that John wasn't going to die till the Lord come. He said, how be it? He didn't say that. But John was taken up. But see, John had already been taken up on the Mount of Transfiguration to see the Lord in his coming. Now he's taken up to the Isle of Patmos to see all the way through of the entire book of Revelations. So he writes it and brings it to the church. All right. Now as he did, what did he see? He heard a voice in heaven, as of a trumpet, and he said one voice. Now, I try to be simple. I believe the way Mary knew who Jesus was is when he spoke to her. Amen. When she was there, you know, looking for him, she looked at the man, she couldn't understand, but when he said Mary, see, there's something about the voice. Alright? Now, you can be in a big group, and 99% of you sitting here tonight could be in a large crowd, and I could say, hello. They'd say, we don't know where he's at, but Brother Dale's somewhere. Because it's hard for me to disguise my voice. Especially after you've heard it for quite a while. It's just a part of me. And you say, well, that's Brother Dale. Why? Because it's a voice. And see, John, while he was on earth, he heard that voice for 3.5 years. He knew that voice. All right? But what about now, going from 3.5 years of hearing a voice and then seeing a man as he went up in Acts 1, and the saints went up with him, as we'll get to it in a minute, or that's Psalms 24, 7, and 10, where the saints went up with him that I gave the other day, and they go up and they, it says there, open up the everlasting gates for the King of Glory to come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord God Almighty, you know, and all like that. And he comes right up, goes right in. But what about hearing that voice? Like a trumpet. Not a to-do, 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 to-do. See? We've learned better than that. Because the shout is not a, hey! You know. The shout is a message. See? The trumpet is the voice. See? We're in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. What is it? The gospel trumpet being proclaimed throughout the land. Proclaiming the prophet's message, like I was telling you. See that the prophet or the high priest one would declare when that jubilee would be. But then it went down. He didn't go through the land and tell everybody. It went down to the ministry and on down to where that they got the message real quick. You know, and the people could go free. All right. But see, here's John being caught up. And he's caught up to see where Jesus went when he went up. Because there he is sitting on the throne. Because first you see, verse 1, see, as a trumpet talking with me, which says, come up hither and I'll show you things which must be hereafter. Brother Branham said to Brother Charlie Cox, said the same voice that called you, told you to turn around, said that same voice will one day call you and tell you to come up. All right? See, we're not going to hear another voice. It's the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ is the voice of the resurrection. All right? Now, when the bride becomes one with that voice, you don't have to worry about it. But what about John now? This is, John sees Jesus go up in about A.D. 33, or A.D. 30, ever how you want to calculate your calendars, because of Jesus born about 4 B.C., because they couldn't keep up with the calendar systems. All right? But still, here's John on Patmos, A.D. 95, 96. Now, he hasn't heard that physical voice for 60 years. Don't you know that he knew who was calling him? Don't you know over in chapter 1 that he knew who that was? That was speaking to him, the voice. Remember when we went through that? Don't you know that he knows here in chapter 4, it's the same voice as chapter 1? that was calling him and tell him to come up. Who's going to call us up? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to call the bride up in a rapture one day. Right? Alright. But as he sees him now, he goes up in spirit. In verse 2, he sees a throne. Because see, God doesn't show you everything at one time. Right? I mean, you agree with that? You ought to. I don't think that ought to need any amens or shaking your heads or oh me's either one. Any of us has got any sense at all knows God doesn't reveal everything at one time. He reveals it gradually as we can stand it. Sometimes it takes 20 years before he can come back and reveal a scripture to you that he's revealed a partial realization to you. And see, then this keeps unfolding. All right. So then John, when he goes up, the first thing he does, he looks around. He heard the voice, like a trumpet, saying, come up and I'll show you things which must be hereafter. All right. And as he did, what did he do? He looks and he sees a throne. Then he looks, and what does he see? Look, what, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. So he sees the throne. And see, go back to the message, the throne. The prophet preached a message in the Church A series called The Throne. All right? Go back and listen to, I think it's about 11 or 12 on the Church A series. All right? 13, called The Throne. Go back and look at that and see the throne. All right. Now, then here he comes and he sees one sitting on the throne. So what's happening? His eyes is opening. Spiritual eyes. Right? It unfolds. He sees the throne. Then he sees one on the throne. Then he describes the one that sits on the throne as the jasper and the sardine stone and the thing. And then he saw a rainbow round about the throne. All right, now on the earth, there's no way you can see a rainbow in a circular unless you see it around the sun at a certain time. It is capable at certain times, but on the others, you're seeing a rainbow, you only see height, it goes from here over to here. See? In a clear rainbow. Like I said, you get at a certain condition, you can see one around the sun, you know. All right, but now, watch. That rainbow round about the throne. And we'll get to that later, what that is and what's going on. But what I want you to see is, where did Jesus go when he went up? When he went up, where did he go? Now, that's what we think as Trinitarians. See, we would say he went up and here's the Father and here's the Son, and there's the Holy Ghost. But believing in one true and living God. Now, our understanding is not of that way. Alright? Then we read, see, that would be extreme Trinitarians. But then your God in three persons, Baptist style of Trinitarian, Presbyterian, etc. They would say, well, he went to the right hand. Well, Brother Branham explained that that God didn't have a great big right hand, and that Jesus sat down on his right hand. He described the right hand as being power and authority. All right. Now, because he's the one that said it, look at number 2 on your notes, and let's see what happened. Now, remember Psalms 24, open up the everlasting gates, that the King of Glory might come in, and let's see where Jesus went. All right. He started up taking the Old Testament saints. This is E55, Glorified Jesus, 1956, 225. He started up taking the Old Testament saints with him. And as he went up beyond the moon, on beyond the stars, on beyond the sun, the Old Testament saints following him, the Bible said he led captivity captive, give gifts unto men. I can see him going beyond angels and archangels, plumb on into the spheres and coming into the sight of the New Jerusalem. Now, Brother Branham, standing on earth, describing that to us. So that's what a prophet can see. I'd hate to have his description of heaven than anybody that could try to draw it out, wouldn't you? All right, but listen to it. I can hear the Old Testament saints acquainted with David's prophecy saying, this is Psalms 34, 24, excuse me, verse 7, on through. Lift up ye everlasting gates and be ye lifted up. Let the King of glory come in. I can hear the angels behind said, who is this King of glory? The Old Testament said, the Lord of hosts, mighty in battle. The angel pressed the button. The gates lifted up. Jesus and the Old Testament saints walked right down through the city of Jerusalem. Now that's not on earth, right? The conqueror and all the saints are following him. Walked up to the throne and present them say, here they are, Father. Now listen to it. This is Jesus said, here they are, Father. He said, climb up on my throne and sit here at my right hand till I make every enemy your footstool. So now what happened when Jesus arose? You know, went up there in Acts 1. That's where you cover the main part of him going up. We went through the difference in the Mary touching him and saying, don't touch me, and the thing. But here he goes up, and he said, what? Climb up on the throne, up on my throne. Now, Revelation 3:21 that we've been on, what did it say? What did Jesus say in Revelation 3:21? He that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne. It doesn't say on. I gave you a quote down there, how can I overcome? Where the prophet said it says in, not on. Because in means a part of, on means just sitting up on something. Jesus said, he that overcomes shall sit with me in my throne, as I have overcome and sit with my Father in his throne. All right. So when did he go to the Father's throne? When he went up. He went up and become the one sitting on the throne. Now, there's not two on the throne. There's not a Father and a Son and the Holy Ghost and three thrones and all this. It says one throne, one sitting on the throne. All right. So that's where Jesus went. Where? To the Father's throne. Because he had said, I come from God. John 13:3. Actually, it says there, and let's just read that. Because we actually quote that just a little bit different than what it's actually saying. Because this is Jesus speaking before it takes place, but look what he says. John 13. Alright. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, now this is in the upper room, right? For his crucifixion. Watch what he says. And that he was come from God and went to God. Now he didn't say that, come back and through somebody else speak that. He didn't come back after his resurrection and speak that. He spoke it before his death. Did I come from God? And what? That he was come from God and went to God. He didn't have any trouble with it because it's not but one God. Alright? But see, in that he climbed up on the throne and sat down, he become on the Father's throne. There's just one sitting on the throne, so he went to the Father's throne. Alright? That should be simple. Because see, he come from God, went back to God. He was God all the whole time. But now he's went to deliver the kingdom up. Because he came up on earth to make a way. Jesus' purpose on earth was to come and die. That he could release the Holy Spirit that was within him to be able to come back on you and I in the new birth. That was the purpose of his death, was to pay the price and release the Holy Spirit. So what happened? He went right to the throne. That is the Father's throne. I read you that word, Brother Randall, saying, in other words, the Father said, climb up on my throne. Climb up here. until I make your enemies your footstool. Well, see, we look at it like one sitting like a throne there, and one sitting on it, and here comes, well, where am I going to get? Because there's no room on the throne. Now, that's Trinitarianism. Right? That's Trinitarianism. Because you got three thrones to a Trinitarian, see, Father over here, Son here, and Holy Ghost over here. Now, the God in three persons, you got a great big right hand. All right? But what did he do? Like I was trying to illustrate the other day, what did he do? He walked right up and climbed up and sat down on that throne. He become back where he come from. He went right to where he come from. Where did he come from? I come from God. I go back to God. There's not two on the throne. There's only one on the throne. Your prophet spent time and time trying to explain that scripture. See, one sitting on the throne. Now, I gave you some quotes. All right. On proving what it was. E52, number 3 on your notes. For him will I accept, 1952, 718. Now, if he was here tonight and was down here in Hammond somewhere, and why, you'd go to him and he'd lay his hands upon you and you'd get well. See, now. Because he would be Jesus. Now, he's gone up to his Father's house, up in glory, and he sits up there at the right hand of his Father tonight, on his Father's throne, making intercession for us. All right? Maybe we don't, in other words, when we pray or ask him anything, he stands before the Father, shows the blood, Father, I died for that purpose. And look how Brother Branham can talk. He stands before the Father. See? Sounds just like Brother Branham's the Trinity, don't it? He can stand before the Father. But how long or how much did he taught one true and living God? He always taught it. He said, you can't teach a prophet any Trinitarian doctrine. I knew it had to be, and I kept searching years ago till I found out where he had Dr. Davis. Now, he was still in the Baptist church. He had Dr. Davis to baptize him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wouldn't let him baptize him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He made him baptize him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be glad to find you that. Because, see, I knew, I thought, what, did he get baptized in the Baptist? Because I know the Baptist doctrine. The Baptist doctrine is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost now. Alright? You say, yeah, but that was way back in the night. That's way back under when it's stronger than it is now. Them Baptists, they glory in that water baptism, but you go from a Methodist church to a Baptist church, I don't care if you've been baptized 10 times, they're going to baptize you one more time. But you can go from the Baptist over to the Methodist, they won't make it get baptized. Go find out if I'm right. They value that. But now listen. He went to the Father's throne. Now, I gave it to you, number 5 on your note, How Can I Overcome, 1963, 825, where he said, sit with me in my throne, not on my throne, in my throne. That's his domain. See? All right? Now, see, we come to the understanding of one true and living God. See, he was in time and elements and all. You've got the form of God. And he's had many forms. Amorphe. While he was on earth, he said, I am the Son of Man. But when he died and gave his life, when the Holy Ghost come back on the day of Pentecost, it come back as Son of God. Now, I gave you those on down below there on identified Christ of all ages. All right? But see, where did Jesus go? John saw where Jesus went. That's the title of the message. John saw where Jesus went. All right. Jesus went to the Father's throne. Or, in other words, he come right back to one God just like he was. And was sitting on the throne. All right. Now, the difference in before and at that time, There was a corporal body being dealt with. See, Jesus had come to earth, taken upon a body. God had received a human body, an element. That body had to be redeemed, not because it was sinful, but because it had a beginning. That's what your prophet said. Future home. It had a beginning. See? It had to be made eternal in the resurrection and the change. Alright. But when he goes into glory, he goes there with an eternal body. So then he can get up on the throne and sit down and become the one on the throne. It doesn't say in the Bible that I saw a spirit sitting on the throne. John saw one sitting on the throne. Alright? Now, he saw that because of where he was. John saw him go up in the book of Acts. He knew what he had taught him. And then when it comes to the time of Patmos, now John is to receive the revelation to pass it on to you and me. All right. So John in type goes up, and when he does, he sees where Jesus went. Now I said that to you about probably 8 or 10 times already in the services. John saw where Jesus went. He went right back to God where he come from. John saw that. He saw the revelation. That's why when he come back from Patmos, the little Johns were written. John 1, 2, and 3 was written by John when he comes back from Patmos. Right. See, and when he gets in there, he talks of the Antichrist that even Paul didn't ever speak of. He speaks of love. Little children love one another. Why? Because he saw the very essence of love by seeing the book of Revelations and being able to bring it and deliver it to you and I. But John went up to see where Jesus went. He went straight to the throne. In other words, God took the scales off of John's eyes and he saw him sitting on the throne. See, now what we think happened was that the body sitting up on the throne ain't no life in it because the Holy Ghost come out and come down to earth. Now, Paul didn't have any trouble talking about Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Brother Branham didn't have any trouble of talking about Jesus Christ coming back on the day of Pentecost in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because he knew what he was talking about. He knew and believed in one true and living God. And he said the same Lord Jesus that walked on the shores of Galilee is now in the born again believer. But not in the corporal body. Because the corporal body's on the throne. But it's not lifeless. One of these days, the Spirit will come back in it. Oh, no. No, he come from God and he went to God. And he's up there right now having in it. The devil's up there trying his best to get permission to get a hold of you. That's what he done with Job, didn't he? Wasn't the devil able to go before God? But listen, one day he'll be cast out. Why? Because when that happens on earth, when he becomes incarnate in us, alright, now listen. See, he goes to the Father's throne. Now I know I preached this to you, but I want you to get the point. John sees where he went. Alright. But now, did John, is that where it stopped when he seen where he went? John saw him go back to where he come from. But then John was a personal witness of the fact that the same Lord Jesus Christ that went up, he said while he was here, I'll be with you even in you. Is that what Jesus said? I and my Father will come, I'm quoting scripture, come and take up our abode in you. Where? Right here. So John saw where Jesus went. He went to the Father's throne. Delivered the kingdom. Climbed up on the throne and sat down. Where do we get to the seals and where that you'll see the Son of Man come back into view? All right. But he climbed up on the throne and sat down. He became the one on the throne. then that Holy Spirit, not leaving the body to leave it dead. See, that's where we get so carnal in our mind that we think that the Holy Spirit left him, come back and left him, his body just laying up there dead. No. You're talking about an eternal God. Not the stupidity of our minds. I'm sorry for saying it that way, but that's the best way to say it. But we think we figured out. But see, he went straight to the Father's throne. He became the one on the throne. But that wasn't the end of the story. That wasn't the end of the Father's throne. Why? Because the same Holy Ghost that was in the Lord Jesus on earth went up, delivered that body, come back to earth in the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. There's your Father's throne. That's why the prophet called him Son of God down through the seven church ages. What? Son of the living God back on earth, the same Son of God that was on the earth. The same eternal life that dwelled in the Lord Jesus Christ comes back on the day of Pentecost in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's your Father's throne now on earth. Alright. The Father's throne on earth. Now I'm not going to get to the point, but I'm going to just make a statement. That Father's throne on earth must match the Father's throne in heaven. You remember the message back about how many years ago? About 5 years ago did I preach a series called Matching Pieces? 1995. That's been quite a while. I still believe it. When what's on earth matches what's in heaven, then we're going to heaven. I mean, that's the point. But see, here's the Father's throne now coming back, spiritually. The body is left in heaven to be a sacrifice, but not a lifeless body. No, but that same Holy Ghost that was in him come back on the day of Pentecost. Set the Father's throne in your heart. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Put the Father's throne where it was to be, that you could be in. Come on, because the prophet said, not on now, said in. Now he goes over and over many, many times using the word on. Well, Brother Brown said on. Brother Brown said on. Go right ahead. But he said in. Here in How Can I Overcome, 1963, 825. Said it was me in, because that's what the scripture says. Remember what I brought you at the beginning and how many times that I've told you this. This is the only age that realizes perfect realization while we're alive. This is the only age that brings God to the position on earth to where He can take us in a rapture. It couldn't happen in no other age. That's why Hebrews 11:40, they without us are not made perfect. See, they're waiting on you and I. Romans 8. The whole world waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. Alright? Why? Because we've got to see here on earth the same throne that's sitting in heaven. Right. If we don't see it here on earth, how can we go there? Right. That's your matching pieces when what's here matches that. Right. Well, Brother Dale, we've always believed in one God. Yeah, that's Baptist doctrine. Baptist doctrine is one God. But it's God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Now, do we believe one God that way? How do we see it then? How do you believe about one God? I'm talking to you about the way God can change His form and appear in another form. Because that's what He done. He come back on the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost in the soul of God in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm quoting Brother Branham. In a form in the bride. Called the Father's throne. That's how Jesus said, "He that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne as I overcame and sit down on my Father's throne." We've got to sit in the Father's throne before we can ever see the real throne that Jesus was speaking of. And see, while he was here on earth, he spoke about a coming Father's throne. All of the parables, all of the things he was talking about, Father's throne. But then he began to speaking about his own throne. He said, "Well, that's two or three thrones." No, it's God in Morphe are changing his form to reveal himself to you and I. There on the River Jordan, you got Jesus standing on earth, the Holy Ghost descending, and a voice out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." That's not three gods. That's God revealing himself where the human mortal can comprehend. I'm not three people. I'm Father, I'm a Son, I'm a human, I'm a grandfather. Won't be long, be a great-grandfather. Pastor of a church, General Motors employee. That's where Josiah, he gets messed up every once in a while. I'll be doing some carpenter work. You know, he'll see me doing that. Then he sees me out in the garden. He knows I plant a crop. You know, raise a garden. So he's asked me a couple of times. He said, "Poppy, are you a farmer? Are you a carpenter? Are you a preacher?" See? I mean, the little fella sees it. He knows that things is going on in each one of those realms, and that's what he asked me. I told him, I said, "Josiah, I'm a carpenter, farmer, preacher." I said, "That's the best way to tell you what I am." Why? Because it's just one of me, but there's many manifestations, right? You understand what I'm saying? See, the one true and living God is understood real easy if we take it in manifestation and let him be what he is for each time, and then just see that all come back together. Now I'm going to say something and I'll go back over it later. See, down through the church ages, they lost the revelation of one true and living God. Is that true? Until Martin Luther and them come out, Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptisms and Trinitarianisms and all. But God winked at the ignorance, the Bible says. But he said one day he commands all men to repent. See, actually, down through time, he was taken off of that throne as the one sitting on the throne, and denominationalism put three on the throne, or some kind of a right hand, or some kind of a something. He was actually dethroned. Because, listen, God in you, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is the same Holy Ghost that was dwelling in that body while he was on earth. Or what have you got? All right, that same God that was dwelling on earth changed his form. After going up and becoming the one on the throne, he could leave that throne as the baptism of the Holy Ghost and come back on the day of Pentecost and make the Father's throne come into being. And he said, "I didn't come to do my will." That's why he turned around over there to Mary. He said, "Go tell my disciples that I'm going into Jerusalem and all. But said, tell them I'm going to my God and your God. I'm going to my Father and your Father." That's not Trinitarianism. He was going back where he come from. But you see, until God is revealed, there is no one God sitting on one throne in heaven. We Trinitarians had three thrones, three gods, or either we had the other form, as I said, some big right hand or some form, some way. Well, Jesus is sitting on the right hand. Well, I wonder who's sitting on the left. I'm not making a joke. I'm trying to illustrate it to you. See? That's not one God. One God is when you can see one sitting on the throne. And there can only be one on the throne in your heart. There is no such thing as the devil and God being in your heart at the same time. That's why your two soul people went wrong. Because that's what they taught. They taught anybody could ever be born again, the devil and God was both living in their soul, because that was two souls. I said, that can't be right, because my Bible says God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. But see, on the day of Pentecost, that Holy Ghost came back into the heart of that 120. Back into their soul to make their soul eternal. Amen. Setting up the Father's throne. Now those disciples understood what John over there. If Paul could have got a hold of John's writing on the book of Revelation, because he'd probably done dead by then. Because this is 1895-96. Who do you think taught one true and living God? Didn't Brother Branham, when he went beyond the curtain of time, he was talking about it, and he said to those people that was there, he said, you'll have to go back and be judged. You remember? He said, will Paul have to be judged? They said, yes, Paul will be judged for what he preached. He said, then will Paul make it in? They said, yeah. He said, then I know that I'll make it in. He said, because I preached it exactly like he did. There's your faith of the fathers. The faith of the fathers is the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the stature of a perfect man up to where you see Holy Spirit. But the headstone had to come. That was the message to come in the end time. That's what your prophet said. So when that Holy Ghost fell there on the in the book of Acts, it brought those people to the Father's throne. That was 120 of them. But they went downstairs. Because they 120 had been trained for 3.5 years. Tutored by the Lord Jesus himself. He had justified them. He had sanctified them. In the potential form that could be done before Calvary. But then there was 3,000 outside that just heard one sermon. The Bible calls them babes in Christ. Earnest of our inheritance. That's why Peter taught it like he did. Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge. He was teaching those other disciples how to get where he was at. That's what we all try to do, is try to get you to see where we're at, what we're walking in. A minister's got to have something, because if it's not, he's just running his mouth. Right. If I don't have tonight what I'm talking about, I'm just making a speech to you. Right. But if I have within my heart that same thing I'm talking about, right, then it's not me talking to you.
Come on, right.
So hear his voice.
Amen.
Brother Randall preached a lot of sermons on Hear Ye Him that was not about adoption. It was just simply hear the voice of Almighty God. You want to do the works of Abraham, which is the works of God? You know what the Bible says about it? Believe on him that God has sent. When are we going to do that? That doesn't make anything out of me. That makes me the least member in this church right here. As being your pastor, I'm the least. Because that's what the Bible says about it. But see, these other preachers want to be the biggest. I hope the life I live and the way I act around you shows you how small I am. All of these things you see around here that we built on this building, my hand was in it. Of course, everybody else's hand's in it and a few feet too. The reason I'm saying about that, we was up here when we tore out the building. You remember how the building used to go this way and went back that way? And we was kind of slacking off about the brothers couldn't get them to work, so I said something about it, and my wife and Sister Anna come up here and they helped me tear out that. Well, I tore down part of it and I laughed my head off. Because they were standing there kicking sheetrock. Ah! Ah! I mean, they was karate doing good, boy. They was kicking that sheetrock down. But it was falling. They got it down. And we got her back up. But now listen. Do you see one true and living God? How many do you see on the throne? How many is on the throne of your heart tonight? When the new birth is a birth of the Word, how can you have three gods in your heart? Oh, well, we don't have three gods. We got the Holy Ghost in us. The Father's up here, and the Son's over yonder. And we got... Well, I didn't know that because I thought Jesus said, I and my Father will come and take up our abode in you. When Jesus could stand on earth and they'd say, show us the Father, that it satisfied us. He said, Philip, have I been so long with you and you hadn't seen me? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But see, he couldn't look through that flesh and see what was inside that flesh talking to him. But see, can we? What is your understanding of one true and living God? I've declared what I believe without backing up on anything. I've declared it unto you all these years. I believe the same God that was on here was born Almighty God.
Amen.
The Bible said he was born to Emmanuel.
Right.
God with us. All right. Then when he went, he come for the purposes, I said, well, I go to die. To die to release that life that it could go back. But see, that life didn't go back to the Father without taking the flesh. Come on. That life, sure, to make it scriptural, the life left him. Said it goes back to God who gave it. But what come right back and picked up that body? The same life that was inside of him come right back and picked that body up and carried it up into glory. And carried those Old Testament saints with him. Climbed up, the prophet said, climbed up on the throne and sat down. In other words, become the one on the throne. And then release that Holy Spirit that it could come back on you and I to live in us. Make the Father throne in your heart. That's why this is what I'm saying. This is the Father's throne is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where it says that on the pyramid and all those virtues up to where it says Holy Spirit. That's the Father's throne. The 120 had that. But the 3,000 didn't have it that way, so they had to have somebody to teach them. So that's what all of your scriptures are about, where Peter would say, being born again by the incorruptible Word of God. Something going on. See, you're born again at faith. Amen. But you've got to grow up the stature of a perfect man. You know what that's doing? That's putting the Father back on the throne where he's supposed to be. When you stand where the apostles stood at the face of the Father's back on the throne on earth where he was matching what's in heaven. All right, see, then we'll get what happens next because what happens next is the opening of the seal. But listen, do you understand what I'm talking about? See, that Holy Ghost that's dwelling in your heart is the very Spirit of Almighty God. In a new birth. Making the Father's throne on earth. Matching exactly what was in heaven. Now then listen to what I'm saying. John saw where Jesus went. He saw him go up. In Acts 1, about 8 or 9, John was there as a personal witness to see him go up. He said, I go to my Father and your Father. But he said, I'll come back and be in you. Come on. They wasn't waiting on a Father to come back. They wasn't waiting on the Holy Ghost to come back. They're depending on Jesus to come back. He said, that's just the flesh. Now, that's all you're thinking. I'm not talking about the flesh. He left the flesh in glory. But it was Jesus that come back on the day of Pentecost. Because Jesus is Almighty God. See, John witnessed that. John witnessed seeing him go up. Now listen to what I'm talking about. I say Acts now because I want you to hold that point. He saw him go up in Acts 1. He was a recipient of the baptism of the Holy Ghost when the original 120 in the upper room. So he knows where he went and where he come back to. So John saw him go up and then saw him come back. So he didn't have any trouble when he got over to chapter 4. That he's caught up at the top of the rapture and sees one sitting on the throne. He knew who that was. And knowing who that was sitting on the throne, he knew that was the Father's throne. And he knew that he himself had been a recipient of that baptism of the Holy Ghost in Acts 2. So he knew where he went up. He knew when he come back. So he didn't turn around in heaven and say, one sitting on the throne. Well, Jesus come up here, but I guess that's all of it. We used to have our hopes in whether or not he was God. No, he didn't. He already knew he went up. John saw where Jesus went. And John knew Jesus come right back down. Come on, Paul on the road to Damascus, what was it? And that pillar of fire, that light struck Paul down. What did he say? He said, Lord. Brother Brown said he wouldn't have called nothing God unless it was that. He was calling him Elohim. But the surprise to Paul was, is when that voice spoke back and said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. To who come back to earth? Jesus. What? In the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus come back to live in the saints down through the ages. Jesus come back as the Son of God. Amen. To sit on the Father's throne. Because that was his promise to him. The promise to him was that he'd sit on the Father's throne. He that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne as I have overcome and sit down with my Father on his throne. Now remember, that's in Revelation 3:21. Which means Jesus had done, went through that and come back. He said, I sit in my in my Father's throne. He knew where he was at. Down through the ages, it's been Jesus Christ living in you and I. Not human body. The baptism of the Holy Ghost living in your heart. To give you the new birth. To bring the Father to the position that he's supposed to be. All right. But see, the 120, as I said, they were the ones that got it at the face of the fathers. But the others only got it as a new birth down at the bottom of the pyramid. Study the statue of a perfect man. And when they received that Holy Spirit, they had to be taught about the Father on the throne. They only heard one sermon and got the new birth, right? You agree? You agree they heard one sermon and got the new birth? All right, then how much did they understand about the Word? They were Trinitarians. Come on. Every person in the world that is not of a true understanding of one true and living God is a Trinitarian. I don't care who they are they either that or a oneness? You remember, the people around Jerusalem at that time was under the Roman captivity, right? You know, the Roman captivity required that you worship their gods, and their gods were plural. Many of them. Why Paul had trouble over in Corinthians. Paul had trouble with women preachers. Brother Branham explained it. He said them women used to be priests under the old Roman rule and things. They used to be priests. They used to be preachers. They were priests. The women were. And Paul had to straighten them out and set them down. But see, a lot of them went home and didn't sit down. But those that were genuine, they went home and stopped their preaching. Why? Because the life of Christ was in them, which was not contrary to the Word. Come on, am I right? Paul wrote to them, the book of Corinthians, the word Corinthians itself means correction. He wrote two books of correction. He didn't have to get on to the Ephesians and stuff and them like that and Colossians and all about the gifts. He had to deal with the Corinthians about the gifts. Ephesians and them had the gifts in order. They now no trouble with them. You see what I'm talking about? When that 3,000 outside received the new birth, sure, that put Christ in their heart. That didn't give them the faith of the fathers. So that didn't put the Father totally back on the throne in their heart. What they had was an earnest. But when a man walked through those virtues until he come to where the apostles were, Jesus Christ was on the throne in his heart. Now listen to what I'm talking about. Jesus Christ was revealed to them. That's what the stature of a perfect man is the revealing of Jesus Christ. He is those virtues. Study the message. Those are godly virtues. Get into Christ, the stature of a perfect man. Those are God's virtues. Given to us because of the opening of the Word. Amen. To grow up from babies to being sons and daughters of a living God. That don't get their feelings hurt because you say something that they just don't agree with. That didn't hurt nobody's feelings, did it? I didn't hear any amens, but... You know, babies get their feelings hurt. Hey, I got feelings. But we got a saying for that in America. It might not sound too good, but you got a place you need to put your feelings. And that is in the seat end of your britches and sit down on them. Yeah, but I just can't help it. You need more of God. That's the best way to say it. You, me, and all of us, we need more of God. But you understand what I'm saying? Brother Russ said he climbed up on the throne and said, I am. Now listen, it's over in the seals before he leaves that throne. But you got to bring him as a lamb by then. We're just covering one on the throne. What is your revelation of God? My revelation is there's just one true and living God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is His name. And there's been many forms of God down through the ages, but it's the same God. It was the same God that created the world. It was the same God that came on the shores of Galilee. And that same God that created the world is the same God that lives in your soul by the new birth. And that same God is the one who will call us up one day and tell us to come up in a rapture off of this earth. But it's only after our growth development has brought us from sniffling, petted babies that get our feelings hurt just because somebody don't speak to them or something. Up to the place to where you stand like the fathers were. Isn't that what it says in Malachi 4? Restore the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. Come on. Isn't that what the prophet said? What is it? 320? I'll get it in a minute. But it's in the church age book where he said this messenger of Malachi 4 do two things. He said, first, he turned the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And he said, second, reveal those thunders, which is revelation contained in the seven seal, and it'll be these divinely revealed truths that literally turn our hearts back. That's about 322 or something right in there. We'll get the page number later for you if you need it. But listen, folks. There's not going to be a change of our bodies. A change of our bodies unless we stand where John saw where Jesus went. John saw him go up. John saw him come right back. Come on. He saw that in Acts 1 and Acts 2. Then in Revelations 4:1, he saw him go up, or he went up to where Jesus had went. So where's Jesus at today? Odd little scriptures, isn't it? About John, what is it, 14? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where did he go? Where is he preparing a place? Is he up in heaven right now with hammers and nails? Building a kingdom? No, where's he at? He went up and he come right back down on the day of Pentecost in your heart. Not in our hearts, because we wasn't there. Come on. But when you receive the new birth, the same Holy Spirit that fell on the day of Pentecost is the same Holy Spirit that falls in your soul by the new birth. Amen. And then he starts building a kingdom for you, a house. Amen. What? A statue of a perfect man. That's the house God is wanting to build in you and I. Amen. Because that restores the Father back to the throne. Amen. That restores the Father back to the throne. To where he's supposed to be. That's why I said, down through the ages, you see him actually not on the throne correctly in people's revelation. But listen, I'm talking about a revelation is what you're seeing. I'm not talking about this goes up here, that comes down here, that goes over here, and they draw this out. And they thought, oh, look at the big drawing. Here was a great pillar of fire up here. And all at once, it just comes down here. And they just, you look up there and there's nothing up there. Where'd he go? Oh, he's over here now. Now, that's not one God. When that body was delivered to the throne, God walked back to where he started from, and he don't matter what you talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost living on the earth in the hearts of the saints, he's still Father, Son, and Holy Ghost sitting on the throne. He's still the healer. He's still the deliverer and all. Sitting on the throne. But I'm talking about the throne of your heart, Danny. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost in our heart is the Father's throne. God living in you by the new birth. That's what he come for the purpose of doing. He come to die to release that to where you and I could sit there in his throne. This is the only age we can sit in his throne. In the correct order. That needs to be done to where we can go to the throne that Jesus was speaking about. So sit with me in my throne. This is the only age this can take place. So John saw where Jesus went. He went up and come right back. Do you see where he went? Do you see that he come from God and he went to God? Do you see that he was God all the time? He was the great Logos back there, the Theophany, the one that spoke the world into existence. And he went right up and he come right back down on the day of Pentecost. When that Father's throne is completed in the hearts of the saints, then you can talk about a rapture. And I use that word for exactly the way I wanted to. Then you can talk about it. Because that's not all the book of Revelation. You got to deal with the Lamb. You got to deal with Brother Branham and the seal book. And how he speaks of those things. But if we don't see him by revelation, because that's what John saw. John saw him by revelation. Just because he was standing there when he went up in the book of Acts didn't mean it made him to where that he come back on the day of Pentecost into his heart. That didn't make it. John said, I went up and seen him. He's coming right back. I'll mark right here where he went up. I'm going to stand here till he comes back. When he comes back, I'll see him. That didn't make John see it. When he come back into John's heart, John knew then that he had come from God and went to God. Why? Because he come right back down. What about you and I? Come on, Brother Ward. What about you and I? What do we see? How many gods have we got? What are we dealing with? What is your revelation? Because that's what I'm talking about. John's revelation. Not John caught up literally. John's revelation of what was going on. What he seen by being in the Spirit. The prophet said that's our trouble. He said we go to the ball game, we get in the Spirit. Right? Well, let's see. Everybody here don't go to ball games. Okay. What can I say? Deer hunting. How many of you get in the Spirit of deer hunting? How many get in the Spirit of golfing? What's your getting in the Spirit of the world? What is it? Come on. But you know what they do at a ball game? They don't go out there and sit down on the sideline and say, okay, bring on the boys and let's get the game going. Now, before anybody enters the field, they got the drums, they got the music. They got everything going. Why? Because they're building you up into the spirit of the game. When are we going to get in the spirit to see what John saw? Because only by being in the spirit can we see what John saw. Only by being born again can we see one true and living God. That's where the trouble's at. You got preachers that are preaching that don't even have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they can't put the word together correctly. So there's something wrong. Well, it's just lack because they hadn't heard what you heard. Why? I mean, is there any problem? The day Brother Moulton, I know you get tired of hearing that, but the day Brother Moulton, he said, what do you believe on one God? I said, I believe in one true and living God. That's the man that introduced the message to me, 1966. I believe in one true and living God. He said, you do? Explain it. I said, yes, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. He just turned right around and he said, you're just as Trinitarian as anybody else. I said, sir, explain that. He said, because you've got a person, you've got a personality, you've got a personality, you've got an individual, you've got an individual, you've got a person. That's three gods. I didn't have to go home and wait 6 months for a great big light bulb to turn on in my head. I looked at him and I said, I don't believe that no more. Why? Because I had nowhere to go. It's either believe what he said or I'd go to be messed up from then on. I didn't see one true and living God like I see it today. No. But there's one thing about it. When he told me that, I knew I had nowhere in the scriptures to stand. And whatever I had of God at that time would not let me turn that down. It's because I don't claim the new birth till I come in the message. 2 years after I come in the message, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't that I said I had the Holy Ghost because I come in the message. No, I waited until I had an experience. That's where people lack in that they don't have the experience of the new birth. Of the same Spirit. Then what did the prophet say? He said it's whether or not the Spirit in you agrees with the Word. Now watch what he said. Keeps on agreeing. The Pope agrees with some of the Word. Right? Well, what do we believe? Oh, Brother Dale, I believe in one God. Well, there can't be any trouble if you believe in one God. You can't be, now I know this ain't going to suit people, but you can't be contrary to somebody who preaches one God if you got a revelation of one God. That's plain and sensible. That don't need a revelation. Well, I don't see it like you see it. Well, what do you see? You got the pulpit. Come and show us what you see. That's on the internet. That's anywhere. Come and see. Come and show us what you see. We'll sit and listen to you. But you see, that same God that John knew, that man that walked on the shores of Galilee that he walked with him for 3.5 years, he knew he was God. And when that Holy Ghost came down on the day of Pentecost into John, he saw him go up in Acts 1. When that Holy Ghost come on the day of Pentecost in John's heart, then he didn't have no problems from then on. He was a faithful and true witness, the Bible says. The one who witnessed these things. Have you ever witnessed the new birth? Do you have the new birth? Well, I don't know where I do or not. Well, then it's time to settle it. The altar's open. It's time to settle that. To know. Because that way then you don't have to worry about it from then on. And what's going to be the new birth? The revealing of that God in your heart. It won't be something hard and not, you know. No. It's just easy. Just accepting Jesus Christ. To believe Him and say, Lord, I want You to come and live in me. That's how simple it is. And if you're sincere, you don't have to worry about it. God will honor that. That's how simple it is. What we got, Brother Bull?
251. All in Him. 251.
Amen. Let's stand together.
The mighty God is Jesus,
the Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father, the King eternally, the wonderful in wisdom, by whom all things were made, the fullness of the Godhead in Jesus is displayed. It's all in Him.
Do you believe that?
It's all in Him.
The fullness of the Godhead is all in Him.
It's all in Him.
It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus,
and it's all in Him.
Do you know who wrote them? Do you know who wrote this song?
God with
a oneness.
The Lord of hosts, the omnipresent Spirit who heals of you.
A oneness is the one that wrote that song.
Advocate, the high priest, the Lamb of
God. You ought to heard of me. in Jamaica singing that at the Oneness Convention that I was at. But when I got through preaching on one God, I believe some of them had a little different understanding about what I believed anyway. But they sung that song over and over and over. All these old songs about that was written back there about oneness. They know the scriptures. I don't want to be a oneness, I want to be a true oneness.
Our wisdom and perfection, our righteousness and power. All we need is Jesus.
The hour is all in Him. It's all in Him.
Anybody have a need?
The fullness of the Godhead. It's all
in Him. It's all in
Him.
It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus.
And it's all in Him. The Alpha and Omega. The beginning and
the end. The living Word incarnate, the helpless sinner's friend, our wisdom and perfection, our righteousness and power, yea, all we need in Jesus, we find this very hour.
It's all in Him, it's all in Him,
the mighty God. In the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is living in your heart. See, that faith of the Father puts that, by revelation, puts back on the throne on earth the exact match of what's in glory. Only then could the prophet see Revelation 5 of a lamb.
It's all in Him.
He was preaching by revelation.
It's all in Him.
When he saw one and true and living God correctly,
the mighty God,
then the seals could break.
It's all in Him. It's all
in Him. It's all in fullness of the Godhead. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus.
It's all in Him.
Look at the second verse. Emmanuel, God with us. Jehovah, Lord of hosts. The omnipresent Spirit who fills the universe. The Advocate, the High Priest, the Lamb for sinners slain, the Author of redemption. All glory to His name.
It's all in Him.
It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him.
The mighty
God is Jesus, and
it's all in Him.
Let's sing number 48 in your big book. I bless your name. Do you? He's got a wonderful name, isn't it? His name is Jesus. Think about Him. Ryan brought this song to us. Wonderful song. Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain begin to sing. Their chains were loose and they were free. What do we do then? We bless your name. We bless your name. Do we? I give you honor. Give you praise. You are the light. And remember, that was the revelation of Paul and Silas. Right? Now here's ours.
I bless your name.
Here we are down here now.
Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out and praise,
right? Amen. Amen. Walk in it and watch it get clearer.
I'm gonna give you praise.
You are the light. Anybody else have a need? Go back up to the first verse now before you sing that last part of the chorus. What is it?
In prison's chains, with bleeding stripes.
The revelation put him there.
All inside.
Let's pray that night. And in their pain, begin to sing.
They tear loose. And they were free.
Bless your name.
Think about it.
Bless your name.
Do you?
We bless your name.
I give you honor. I give you praise. Who is he?
You are the life, the truth, the way.
We bless your name.
We
bless your name. Think about it now. Some midnight hour, we may bless your name.
I give you honor, give you praise.
You are the light, the truth, the way.
We bless your name. Bless your
name. Now if you see it, think about it. Sing that line.
The truth, the way. We bless your name. You are the light, the truth, the way.
Sing that second verse now.
Bless your name.
What happens now?
Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind,
you can't figure out that one God. Just wait till he reveals it.
And they will fall. In Jesus' name.
What do we do then?
We bless your name.
He's worthy of all honor and glory. Who is this King of Glory, the Old Testament saint said?
Light, the truth, the way. We bless your name.
Bless your name. What is he?
You are the light, the truth, the way.
We bless your name.
We bless your name.
Amen. Bless his glorious name, because he's revealing himself to us. All we need to do is just be caught up in the Spirit. Caught up in the Holy Spirit. And just let God reveal himself. But do you see one God? That's the whole Bible. You spend a lot of time preaching on the Godhead. I don't spend enough. Because there's not but one message. And that's one true and living God.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Amen.
Holy Spirit,
yep. Too much to give up. What he thinks.
To me.
He thinks it's too much, he's got to give up.
Holy Spirit,
Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we send this prayer cloth to Brother Dale. And Father, you just touch him and take care of everything and bring him back to us. In Jesus is your name. Anybody else?
Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me.
Who is he? Heavenly Father,
I appreciate you.
Do you?
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
I love you. Adore you,
who bow down before you.
Heavenly Father,
I appreciate.
Let's talk to him as we go now. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love that you've given unto us. Truly, we appreciate you. And Father, we believe you. We believe that your throne is in our heart. Father, when it matches the throne that's in glory, things can take place. It did with the prophet. And he began to go deeper and deeper into thy word. Just bless and take care of everybody. Remember everybody on the highway. Give a safe journey, Lord. Let your love be made manifest. We love you and we thank you. Forgive our sins because we know we fail you. Just keep us. Guide us. Touch the sick among us. And deliver, heal. In Jesus' name. Remember the service this Sunday. Brother Carlos will be preaching. The Lord bless him and give us understanding in the word, right?
God good to give us some.